So how are you doing on your walk with God and being closer to that?
Well, it's progressing. My good friend and pastor, Dick Woodard, went to be with the Lord last week.
Wow.
And the homecoming was Saturday. And by the end, we all wanted to go join him. It was magnificent. All his grandchildren were there, and they're so musical and so talented. His son, who's the pastor, preached, and he was just spectacular. It was great, great event.
Wow.
I've got a Tuesday morning men's group in my new church. So that's good. I'm starting a Tuesday evening fellowship Bible study.
Wow.
We're going to spend the first 7 weeks on the 23rd Psalm.
Wow.
Which is all about relationship with our Lord.
Huh. So are you, do you have any curriculum, or are you just doing
yep.
it?
Dick Woodard wrote a bunch of little books that were topical years ago, or over the years. And over the years, I did a leader's guide for each one of them to help with a home fellowship group or Bible study group to help the leader be, you know, just a little more prepared than the rest.
Right.
And at the funeral, they passed out the one that he did on the 23rd Psalm called Sheep Talk. And I said, yeah, I remember that. I looked up in my files, and I had the abstract and the curriculum and, you know, the extra scripture and this and that and the other, the questions. Group questions and stuff like that. I said, well, since I'm starting a group, maybe I'll start with that. The 23rd Psalm is really the Alpha and Omega. So that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start it on April Fool's Day.
Nice. When are you going to do that?
On April Fool's Day.
What day? Okay, so that's going to be coming up here.
Tuesday, the 1st of April.
So 2 weeks. What time?
I'll be doing it in the evening. Usually I do those things from 7 to 9, 7 to 8:30 or 9.
Wish there was some way I could sit in on that.
Well, if you like, I'll send you the leader's guide. You can get the booklet from ICM.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be helpful. How many people are going to be there?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I've talked to two, and possibly my daughter and son-in-law, maybe my granddaughter. We'll see.
Is there any way you could record it?
No.
No?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, go to ICM.org and ask them for Sheep Talk.
Gotcha. So anything else going on in your life?
Just my C12 group. I've got a meeting on Thursday. Got a couple new applicants going to visit.
Nice.
I got to go out to a chair training out in Denver the end of April.
How much time does it take to get...
Absolute nuisance to ride an airline all day just to go to an airport hotel for 2 days. But I can't really complain because we've done it most of the time in Atlanta and I drive down there.
Okay.
And the rest of the guys have to fly across the country.
Gotcha.
So now it's my turn to be inconvenient.
So how much training do you have to go through a year?
Every
for
6 months we do two days.
Okay.
And then on the quarters, we do 1 day regionally. So actually 4 times a year.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Well, it's proving to be challenging to get the business turned over by August 1st. It's not an easy task.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working with Life Masteries Institute on pulling in a... Like, what's the biggest challenge you're facing in the C-12?
Oh, well, there's a... in C-12 as a whole, the challenge is finding and keeping good chair people and encouraging them, making them productive, and... the startup of a C-12 for a new C-12 chairman is terribly difficult, but I don't have to tell you that because, you know, you do kind of the same thing. You recruit people.
Right.
That's the LLC's problem. For the local chairman, of course, it's the recruiting, and finding ways to add value, and keeping the relationships fresh. That's both the challenge and the joy.
So finding new ways to add value and keeping relationships fresh. Huh.
It's interesting that, you know, my personal philosophy, as you know, has been a little different from the standard C-12 philosophy, which includes an awful lot of work and in marketing, and I've just let the Lord bring me those that He thought I could be of value to, and over the years He has. That hasn't produced the numbers that make C-12 LLC super happy, but it makes me happy, and I hope that it makes the Lord happy. In the last 3 weeks, He has brought me three members and potential members who've asked to get back in the group after having left a few years ago as a result of this recession. We're driven out economically. And, you know, that's satisfying that when they do leave, they miss it.
Right. How many people do you have now in your group?
I've got 8.
And how many would C12 like you to have?
12.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I got a couple of visitors this week who say they want to join. That'll bring me up to 10. And, you know, we'll see what the Lord does.
Right.
And one group, 12, is really all I can handle. Why I sold off the rest of my territory.
How do you figure out business valuation on that?
Well, it's a franchise, and territories are sold, and they have a price, and you do it on a net present value, because it's like any other business. It has a revenue.
Right.
Stream, and we teach in C12 that you need to prepare your have a succession plan and prepare your successor. So I did that many years ago when I thought the time was right, and I got a successor to take over all but one of my groups. And the Lord intervened on that one, and as is always the case, he was right and he was wise, because it's been a great blessing to me to have one group to just keep my mind active, keep me active.
Right.
But a normal full-time C12 chair is expected to do the 3 groups of 12. Plus a couple of key players groups, which keeps you really super busy.
How many are in the key players groups?
Well, that varies. The key players are employees of the member groups.
Right.
And so it's your recruiting there is within your member companies. There's some dynamite chair guys down in eastern North Carolina who have some companies that have 4, 5, 8 key players. So they have some big key players, and they have several key players groups so that they can put them in different, put the ones from the same company in different key player groups. I, on the other hand, don't have that. A lot of my companies are small, and if you go down to the next echelon, you got people who they can't afford to take the day off, the full day off once a month. But I've got one strong key player group that's got 5 in it. Which is not bad for a C12 group with 8 in it.
Right.
So
are most of the chairs, are they full time?
That's a requirement.
Okay.
They will only take on full time chairs now.
So if somebody is a chair and you know, they have the 3 groups, and they have a couple key players groups and stuff. Like, how much would a chair earn a year, and how many hours would they work?
If they have the full, they would work. That really, you know what marketing's like.
Right.
There is no end to the hours you can put into it.
Right.
And it's all amount of the matter of your productivity.
Right.
Once you get beyond a certain point, you begin to get a lot of referrals from your own membership.
Right.
And so the finding the needle in the haystack diminishes.
Right.
And you get a lot more referrals, and so that becomes easier. So initially, lots of hours. Later on, less hours, but you got to realize that for every member, you're doing a one-on-one. And to schedule my hour to hour and a half one-on-ones, I can do five in a day, but that's a lot. I got to keep on to it.
So somebody that's got a full group building up, you know, the three and the players group, are they putting in, when they get started, 50, 60, 70 hours a week?
Yeah, probably, when they get started, yeah.
And then after
and
they...
Then we talk about that, and we try to reach a reasonable equilibrium, because we're trying to teach our guys to have reasonable balance in their lives.
Right.
And so if somebody keeps on at that pace, we try to bring him back to ground zero and say, listen, that it's not sustainable.
Right.
So we're all trying to get back to 40 hours a week.
Gotcha.
And so... Hopefully you get back to that, and you figure that you know, the range of the income is pretty substantial, because some of our chairs have been in it for a long time. I think the top chair has two or three sub-chairs that he has arrangements with.
Okay.
That are on his payroll.
Okay.
And I know that his monthly revenue is quite substantial. I think he's doing about $500,000 a year.
Okay. In gross sales. Okay.
And probably netting about 30 to 40% of that.
Okay. So somebody could build an annuity if they wanted to, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to keep working at it.
Right. So what would an average chair, you know, somebody who's average, what would they earn?
Well, if they're just doing sub-chairs and so on, and they've developed their area to where they have their three full groups, then, let's see. They're probably doing about 20 to 25,000 a month.
Is that to them, or is that total revenue?
That's gross.
Okay. And then, do they have other expenses, or is it split?
Well, yeah, they've got the expenses of the room rental and luncheon for the meetings.
So will they get 40% of that too, roughly?
What?
Will they get 40% of that typically in net?
Yeah, they should. They should get 40 to 50% of that net, depending on how much they spend in advertising and marketing. See, that's pretty much of a variable.
How much do they recommend?
company recommended.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm working on...
But it's designed so that the income of an engaged person who's qualified is commensurate with what they could make doing other things.
Right, right.
So that's the design. Obviously, it varies a whole lot.
Right. What's interesting, I'm working on right now getting a couple business people are interested in or interested me talking to them at least about getting a $1.2 million contribution to Life Masteries Institute that would be set up as a kind of a pay it forward type of thing, scholarship type of thing. So I'm working on that, on selling it. I thought it was going to be a little easier than it was, but it's not. And so it's interesting on the the mastermind seminars that are going around the country. So there's one in Houston, one in Utah, one in Chicago, and there's, I don't know, another 10 that are looking at getting set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to set up infrastructure to potentially, you know, fund a community-based organization, fund the local chapter, and then fund maybe somebody. And it wouldn't have to be somebody full-time because it's not really coaching. It's really seminars and events that are business development related.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's proving to be very intriguing. And then that, in addition to getting Synergy positioned to have the day-to-day run without me, that's also... You know, I guess...
Were you setting this up as a nonprofit?
Well, Life Masteries, they are a nonprofit, and that was set up. It's a 501c3.
Yeah.
So that was set up years ago, 15 years ago, by a bunch of business people.
Yeah.
To bridge the gap between community and business partnerships. And so Synergy is a for-profit company.
Uh-huh.
That we've been around for 24 years, and so I am definitely having to think outside the box to say, okay, how am I going to get this stuff, you know, running independent of me?
Uh-huh.
So it's going to have to be.
Sounds to me like you've got to get the thing. You got to do this, be the rainmaker and get the thing going. After that, you can fade away a little.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I love business like crazy. I mean, I love what I do so much every day. But, you know, probably 10 years ago, you know, I felt a real, I don't know, a pull when I was out at the Lakota Indian Reservation in South Dakota. It's like God's, I don't know, he's like tugging on my heart and saying, all right, it's time for you to jump, you know, out of Synergy. And, you know, jump out of Synergy and go ahead and move into ministry, you know, full-time, community stuff full-time. And so I'm like, I'm ready, God. Yep, I'm there. I'm there. But, you know, the leadership infrastructure that I had in place and the system wasn't designed well enough. The leadership wasn't strong enough and the systems weren't strong enough for the economy that hit or that's here. So, you know, spent 10 years, another 10 years retrofitting it and going back and looking at the engine and saying, okay, yeah, that car is not going to run. And so,
well, the economy has changed a lot of dynamics, but it's interesting that C12 LLC has been growing at 20% a year right through this recession, which is kind of interesting.
Any ideas why?
It's just a value that people need more in hard times than any other time.
See, and this is where in the mastermind seminars, that is,
you've got to reinvent yourself, you need C12 or one of these things to help you do it. And these are times when we're all having to reinvent ourselves continuously.
See, it's interesting because, I've thought about that. Where I'm such an outlier, and so there was a group of C12 here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, I went to the one group meeting, and then the guys wanted some help developing some business systems, and so we started doing that, and, I guess didn't work out so well for either side so well. And so it's like, okay. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting until Tom Kuntz came in. I mean, I prayed probably about that same time, maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for 3-4 years that God would bring in, some mentors and spiritual disciples and stuff, and, people who could spiritually disciple me. And so I prayed, 3, 4, 5 years for it, said, God, come on. And, any help would be appreciated. And so after, 3, 4, 5 years, it seemed like, if I just gave up or if God just said, Mark, yeah, you don't need that. I'm just going to do it to you. I'm like, all right, well, I guess. All right. And so I don't know, with Tom, coming into my life, he's really probably the first business mentor that I've ever had in my life. And he says that I mentor him more than he mentors me. But I think that's just probably some good, elder statesman that makes the younger guy, the younger, more inexperienced guy, feel good about himself.
That's kind of the way the relationship works. If it's working, it is a two-way thing. And that really has been the synergism of C12, because if you get a good group of people together, they're and facilitate it right, so that there is enough openness and your focus of discussion is right and broad enough, then the mentoring and the learning, they do for each other.
Right,
I always, if my group say, you've been my mentor and so on. Well, I'm not. Group is your mentor. But my role is to make that possible and make that happen.
See, it's interesting because
they're all smarter than I am, and they're more in touch. And we never have a subject come up with the table that somebody hadn't just been there, done that, is an expert on it. The expert. expertise is within the group, not within me. But my job is to know where the expertise lies. And, you know, things will come up, and I'll say, okay, you need to have lunch with so-and-so. And the problem gets solved.
Right. Well, it's interesting because a couple years into it, you know, like when Tom, like we worked about a year and a half on the book together, never met in person, just everything over the phone for a year and a half, and a week before the book comes out. So I think I have 120,000, you know, books sold, or 140,000 books sold, because that's how many agents there are all over the world. So I have this master plan. It's like, well, they're going to probably buy the president's book,
yeah,
maybe a couple of them, you know, a couple copies, and a week before it comes out, you know, he resigns. He calls me up. He says, "Mark, I've got some bad news for you." He's like, "Yeah, sure, no, go shoot." He says, I just resigned." And I said, "That is so awesome, Tom." I said, "I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for you. What are you going to do?" He's like, "I don't know." He's like, "You know, I've kind of retired, and I don't think I'll be on the golf course." He loves golf a lot. He says, "But, you know, I don't know." I said, "Well, how about if I fly out and we meet for the first time in person?" And so fly out, meet in person, you know, connect well. And so, you know, I put together a plan to help him. So I said, "Well, what would you like to do?" And he said, you know, we talked. And I said, "Well, how about if I put together a plan?" So I put together a plan. And you know, so the plan is to help him make $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not even close to that. And 3 years into it, I'm like, okay, I'm starting, or two, three years into it, I'm starting to, you know, be a little concerned. We're not even, I mean, it's not even, you know, on the Richter scale. And I'm out in Southern California. We're doing some events together. And he's like, I'm like, "You know, Tom, hey, I just want to check in with you. You know, how's that? You know, how do you think our relationship is?" He's like, "Oh, Mark, I'm loving it." And I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "You know, what do you enjoy most about it?" He says, "I love hanging out with you." And he says, "The way your mind works," he says, "it just, I just love it. I just love the energy. I just love the passion. I just love, you know." So I don't know. So does C12 go ahead and do nonprofit organizations too?
There are some chairmen who have some nonprofit members, and even some pastors, but not very many, as you can imagine. The nonprofit mentality has to be gotten over.
Right.
This business that I'm called, I do my calling, and I'm here to please God and God alone. You know, how about God sent you to serve your customer and is pleased when you do that well?
So how much is it a month for C12?
Well, that depends entirely on the chairman. We're free to set our prices. Mine range between $550 a month and $950 a month, according on, to the company's gross revenue. Bigger companies pay more.
Right. Right.
Bigger companies have it. My whole idea is that what pays your dues is the incremental net revenue. revenue you get from leveraging a good idea that you get in the meetings. If you're not awake and you're not taking home any good ideas, and you got to pay your own dues, and sooner or later you're wasting your time and mine and everybody else's. So, for that reason, I give them only 2 years at the lowest rate, then I bump them up.
Nice.
Because by then, if you're not participating and learning how to leverage and take home and leverage the ideas you get,
right?
If you're not getting an additional $10,000 a year net out of what you're bringing home from C12, which is ample to pay your dues, then you're asleep.
Right.
That's a net either saving in expenses or increase in earnings. Either way, it doesn't take but one or two good ideas in a year.
Right.
But obviously when you start out, until you start harvesting some good ideas, you're paying your own dues.
Right. Right. Well, I'm going to talk to Life Mastery's board.
Yeah.
About me flying out there each month and joining you if you'd have me.
Flying out where?
Out to your location.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll welcome you for a meeting.
Yeah.
But not monthly.
Because?
Because it changes the dynamics of the group.
Having somebody fly in?
No, having somebody visit who's not part of the group.
No, I mean, Life Masteries would pay, I would become a member and pay.
Uh-huh.
Is that acceptable?
Well, you could do that, but why would you want to visit my group rather than one closer to you right in your backyard or someplace? Because we got them all over.
Because they're not led by you. And
as I told you, I'm not the value of the group. The group is the value of the group.
I understand that, but none of them had your mother either. And so, you know, so the thing is Life Masteries is, I think, on the cusp of some just worldwide things, but they're, you know, they don't have any full-time employees. They've always had challenges with revenue models. Once I get free of Synergy, I think I'm going to be able to help them with that, but not nearly as much. I mean, there needs to be something. So there needs to be an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be an understanding of, you know, of how this is all, you know, how this is all blended together and the ministry
you,
and the...
You say they're a non-profit, right?
Yeah.
That's their problem. And the problem with the non-profit and the non-profit mentality is the separation of work and faith.
Well, they don't have a separation. They don't have a separation mentality.
Yeah, they do if they're making this a nonprofit and not fully funding it with staff and so on. They're doing it with they typically do things with volunteers and never have enough skin in the game. When you commit to a business that's a for-profit business, you got to fund it and you got to put your energy in there. Then you got skin in the game, and then you'll find a way because of your commitment to make it go. It's the same thing as faith. And most nonprofits just feel good about doing some good with their spare money, their spare time, but they rarely put enough skin in the game. Not that they couldn't, and not that the model doesn't work if it's fully committed, but the majority, what I've seen, the majority of nonprofits are operate on the fringes without full commitment. People, everybody involved in them, their main commitment and skin in the game is in their for-profit business, where they work, where they earn their living.
Well, August 1st, baby, that's about ready to change.
Okay, but yeah.
That's why
C12's model was that they didn't want anybody that wasn't willing to commit full time. Now, a number of the chairs have come in and still had businesses or this or that that they had to sell or work their way out of as they work their way into C12. But if they don't do it pretty soon, they can't stay in C12. I'm a little bit of an anomaly because I came before it was a franchise model, just an experiment of Buck Jacobs at that time. He had I was the third chairman to come in, and he was just experimenting with it to see if somebody else could do it other than him. You say, oh, well, I want to be in your group. Well, that's what his situation was, and he wanted to see if anybody else could do it. Well, there were three of us, and when he saw that it worked, then slowly he built a board to have some accountability, and he sold all his groups to one of his members, actually, and they developed the C12 LLC and developed the franchise model. And then they slowly went to we have to have full-time chairman that with lots of training and ongoing training and lots of skin in the game to make this a really professionally run operation. Because some of the others that were in, doing it, like Vista and so on,
right,
they use part-time people. And the quality kind of showed it. It
right.
was not their main interest.
Right.
They were doing it as a part-time gig, which is kind of the level of commitment that you see in the typical church Bible study or fellowship group, right? You come when you have time, you don't when you don't. And so the consistency isn't there, and the professionalism isn't there, and nobody expects it, so I guess that's okay. But they didn't want that. They didn't want that atmosphere in C12. They wanted a really professionally run operation where the members got full value for what they paid.
Right.
It tends to change the dynamic a little bit. I know it changed it tremendously for me because when I went into it, I was already doing the same thing. I started it before Buck did his, but I wasn't charging anything.
Right.
And so the level of so my members had no skin in the game.
Right.
And they did not have to take home any takeaways to pay for their dues. So, you know, they may or may not have been awake. Now, the Lord did some amazing things that back then, even so, just because of the willingness of everybody to be there. But when I closed that down and went to the C-12 model, then things really started to happen because people not only expected them to happen, but demanded that they happen.
Right.
And that's a little different.
Right.
And that's what I think is absent in an awful lot of nonprofit operations. Now, if you're doing a nonprofit for the down and out who have nothing and can't pay, obviously that's the way you go. However, it works better if they've got skin in the game. An example is International Cooperating Ministries. We've built close to 5,000 churches around the world for some very poor people who don't have any money. But guess what? They did the work on the building. We just provided the materials and the expertise that they couldn't provide. But they dug and they built and they worked. And therefore, it became their church, their project, and they all had skin in the game. And without that, I don't think it would have been worth it.
And you ask me? And you ask me, you know, why it would have to be your group?
Well, but, listen, I go to these chair training things four times a year, and I'm just bowled away and honored to be still allowed in the group. I sit in the back and shut my mouth. Because the Lord has just sent some dynamite people that I can't hold a candle to. I mean, these guys.
You're so funny.
They're younger. They got more energy. They got more business savvy than I do. They just, in every way, they're head and shoulders above me. I mean,
just like those young fighter pilots, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And in a dogfight, didn't you always say that the older guys always won?
Sometimes they did, but I don't know about today. I mean, with the technology today. First of all, they're not gunfighting anymore. It's Buck Rogers stuff, and you're shooting down your enemy 20 miles away. I'd be still looking for my enemy when I had a missile up my tailpipe.
You're an interesting guy. You're an interesting guy. So
I'm just an old guy still hanging on for dear life. And hanging in there only because I learned from my dear pastor, mentor, Dick Woodard, that I can't, but he can, and he's in me, and I'm in him, and therefore get out of the way and let him do it. And that has kept me in the game long after I probably would have been out. But, you know, God loves to manifest himself in weakness, and that's about all I got to offer anymore. But some of these young guys are dynamite, I tell you. Lord's got a whole lot more to work with. And some of them, they can get things done.
You're a riot.
I think circles around me.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm just holding on for dear life, saying, Lord, use me as long as you will. All I want to do is finish well. That I aim to do.
Well, I'm going to set a personal goal to get things where I would visit your group so you and I could meet for the first time in person by June 1st. And by July, 1 month before August, where I'm going full-time after it, to join your group. And so I'm going to run that by the board and say, hey, this is what I'd like to do, and go from there.
Yeah, we'll see what the Lord does.
We'll see what he does. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.